Take your Bibles tonight, if you will, and turn it to Hebrews chapter 10 as we finish out, Lord willing, this 10th chapter of Hebrews. We've looked a lot, we've seen a lot in this 10th chapter, and it's been very good, very, very good. We think about the book of Hebrews, we think about some of the lessons we've learned and the idea that the writer of Hebrews is encouraging not just those first century believers, but us today to continue living our life by faith. And so we know that the target audience is not the unsaved, but those that are believers. This book is for you and I, for those of us that call ourselves Christians. Despite the temptations, the trials that we'll inevitably face, the writer encourages us to persevere, to do right, to follow Christ, to live for Him, no matter what. We need to keep walking by faith. Don't shrink back. Don't retreat. Don't become a jellyfish with no backbone. But we're to be strong, not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. You know, I know several years ago, back when I was a youth pastor, we took a trip out to Cedar Point, Sandusky, Ohio. Has anybody been there? Sandusky, I know you've been there. And I don't remember how old he was, but Quincy and I rode every single one of those roller coasters there that day. Don't ask me to do that today, Brother Joe. I couldn't make it. I think it'd kill me. I'd want to die at least. And but you know what? One thing about a roller coaster, you're up 1 minute, and then you're down the next minute. And then you're upside down in 1 minute, and then you don't know what direction you are the next minute, and then it stops. And I think that's a lot like the Christian lives that people live today. They're up 1 minute, and they're down 1 minute, and they're turning over 1 minute, and then their life is over, and there's been not really a steady growth, but just ups and downs. And I think the writer of Hebrews here is saying, listen, let's not oscillate back and forth between the same problems that we've lived with. Let's have a victory in our life. Let's walk in the Spirit, if I could put it that way, through the power of the indwelling Spirit, not relying on our own limited human resources. And the truth of the matter is our resources are greatly limited. We learn that Christ is our great high priest. Isn't that wonderful? He's our Lord. We talked about that. And because of our position in Him, we've been given all that we need for life and for godliness. You know, at salvation, you were declared righteous. Not because of who you are, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. And in Him, we have all that we need to continue living a victorious Christian life. We are justified, how? By faith. And now, we are called to live a sanctified, a separated, for a purpose, life, by how? By faith. You know, it's impossible to please God without faith, not just for salvation, but for daily living. We're going to find out this evening that He does not take pleasure in those of us who are born again that do not live by faith. I want to look at the verse in chapter 11, verse 38. Well, let's back up to verse 37. That will just remind us of where we were. We looked at that last week. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. We talked about the Lord's return. But then in verse 38, he says, now the just shall live by faith. Let me tell you what I believe he's talking about. He's saying one day soon, Jesus Christ is coming back. And I don't want to rehearse all of last week, but it's good to bask in that thought, isn't it? Jesus is coming again. But basically, what are you saying? Until then, but for right now, in this time, we are to live by faith. And I want to talk about that for just a little bit. I really want to have a little bit of back and forth. He is really rehearsing some Old Testament verses, but it's also rehearsed in Romans and given again in Galatians. In the Old Testament, I believe it's Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. He's quoting here and using, the writer of Hebrews has used extensively from the Old Testament to help us to see these New Testament truths. And so at least four different times in God's Word, we are told the just shall live by faith. And I think sometimes we see that and we see the just and we think, okay, well, I'm justified by faith, and we move on. But it's not saying that you're saved by faith. The Bible is clear about that in so many different places, but it is clear here to say that the just are going to live by faith. So I want to look at that practically today. What does that look like in our lives? It is easy sometimes to have all the Sunday school answers. You know what the top three Sunday school answers are, right? Read your Bible, pray, and go to church. And if that doesn't work, then you got to think for a second. Yeah, justification, living by faith, and it will, I think, manifest itself in those ways. There's no doubt in my mind. The reason that the top three answers is because they're right most of the time, okay? But what does it look like in your life? What does really living by faith, what does that mean? So if we are saved by faith, we have to think, well, God wants us to live, I think, in some aspect the same way that we were saved. He wants us to live in that same way. So I want to back up just a step and think about, how were you saved? I don't mean the circumstances leading up to it, although I find salvation testimonies fascinating. I don't know who wrote that into our Constitution that says that people have to meet with the pastor, they have to give their testimony. But I love that. I love hearing people's testimony because it's so different, people's backgrounds and upbringings. But you know, each one of us had to come to that place at the cross and realize that we were sinners, that we needed something beyond ourselves to save ourselves, and that is Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross. I mean, that is Christianity 101. It doesn't get any more basic than that. But is just believing that, how did you find out about that? Where did you learn about the gospel? Maybe for some of you, your mom and dad told you. And that's a wonderful thing. We have had an opportunity to share Christ with each one of our children, and it is a blessed thing to be able to see your child to trust the Lord. That is a wonderful thing. But if it was your mom and dad, where did they hear about it? At some point back, you're going to have to say, somebody showed them from the Bible. They heard it from the Bible. They understood it from the Bible. Somebody showed you from God's Word. And whether you're a young person and they're just explaining it to you, or you were older and somebody opened up the Bible and said, this is what God has said. Yes, you're putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that. But it's on the basis of the record that God has left for us. Do you understand that? I'm not saying you get saved by the Bible. You get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is clear. But the only way that we can know about that is believing what God has said to be true in His Word. And so when we read the Bible and we say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, we're believing God at His Word. We're taking God at His Word. All right? And so, yes, justification is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Without His death, His burial, we would never have salvation. I hope you understand that. But what I am saying is that the more elemental piece of that, the very genesis, the very beginning of that, must start with believing in something. Certainly it's Christ, but believing that the Bible is true. You must believe that God's Word is true in order to be able to trust what He has said about salvation. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so the way that we get saved is believing God and taking God at His Word about what we need to put our trust in to be saved. So what is it then to say the just? By the way, that just, it just means to be justified. It means that you have been made righteous in the eyes of God. We read in one part of the Bible where it says just Lot. It doesn't mean only Lot. It's talking about a justified Lot. And so He's talking about you and I, how we should be living our lives. So if God says, at least in four different places in his word, that the just shall live by faith, I think we better understand what that looks like in our lives. Not what it looked like in Elijah's life, although that can give us an example, or in the disciples' lives even, but what does it look like in your life? How do you know you're being obedient if you don't know what it looks like or should look like in your life? I don't think you can. Okay, so we said that you're saved in this sense by believing what God has said. Well, then, if we're saved by faith, and we are not just justified by faith, but that we should live by faith after we're justified, that tells me that we ought to continue to take God at his word. Now, we don't have to take him at his, well, let me rephrase that, not just for salvation, but in other areas that he speaks to that are relevant to our life, right? So when we talk about living by faith, our faith is in what? What is your faith in? I'm not talking about salvation, I'm talking about for sanctification. What is your faith in? Anybody have any ideas? Okay, so just the same as we trusted Christ to save us, we are looking to God to sanctify us, is what he's saying. Well, John, is that what you're going to say? You want to word it a little? Yes. Yes. So he's saying that we are looking to the Lord Jesus to deliver us, that we can be more conformed to his image, and it is a process, right? I don't believe salvation is a process. I believe you get saved and that is it, but sanctification is a process. Brother Bill? It's through the word, right? And that's kind of what I'm getting at, is our sanctification has to come through God's word, because that is where we know that God has told us how we should conduct our lives. Now, it's amazing to me that somebody is willing to go work at Burger King, Bojangles. Well, they're struggling. I don't know anybody's really willing to work for them right now, okay? And be told how to conduct themselves while they're there on the clock. I mean, they are told sometimes how their hair has to be done in or done up, or what they have to wear while they're there, and what they're supposed to be doing while they're there. And you know, I guess some people might balk at that and not come back to work. But can I tell you, God has told us what he expects from us, not just in what to wear or how to wear our hair, although he's given us those things, but in so many different areas. And as we come across something that maybe we're not living, or maybe we've never seen before, I remember as a young Christian coming across truths, wasn't it a wonderful thing to learn something you didn't know before? And you just wanted to please the Lord and do and change whatever needed to be changed. And I hope that spirit has not left you. But as you become more mature, what happens is we get comfortable with the things that we haven't changed. And we're kind of more willing to carry it around, thinking because we've changed so much in all these other areas that God's okay with this. Well, sanctification means to be being more holy, all right? Set apart, to be used for his glory. So let me just ask you, what are some ways, certainly through his word, what are ways that we can demonstrate our faith? All right? Not ways that he is sanctifying us. We talked about that already. It's through his word. It's through the finished work of Christ working in us. But what are ways practically that we can demonstrate our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God? Okay, I got one over here, just a second, Bill. Publicly witnessing to somebody. Why would you want to witness to somebody? It's a command. God's told us to, right? Not only that, because you love somebody. But I mean, primarily, that's what I'm getting at, is it's written in God's word. Why in the world would I go tell somebody something I don't think they want to hear necessarily, and I'm scared to go tell them in the first place, and yet I'm commanded to, right? So what is it? It's me, instead of being fearful, saying, God, I'm trusting you to give me boldness and the words to say. But what is it? I'm trusting God to obey his word. That's living by faith. You're taking that step. You're trusting what God has said. What's another way besides witnessing? I'll get back to you, Doc, in just a second. Being doers of the word, just obeying it. Doc? Our finances, right? I mean, there's a lot to be said right there, because I remember when I first got saved, I could not imagine giving 10% of my income. So I was kind of a little thrifty. No, that's not a good word. I was stingy, all right? And my thought was, if God has money, he can get it from somewhere else. Is that true? Could God do that? Yes. Do you know who was losing out in the early days of my Christian life? I was missing a lot of blessings. And I remember some young fella came to me, still on the boat, and he said, why don't you just try believing God instead of doubting him for a little while? That really resonated with me. I said, all right. I started giving. And I'll tell you, I hope you don't stop at 10%. God will bless you. I don't want to sound like a televangelist, but God blesses generosity. He does. So certainly in our finances, when you take God at his word, you say, wait a second, if I give, I'm going to be short here or short there. And I'll just tell you, when you honor God, God honors that. God honors that. But why would you do that? Why would you give when the world has cars that are brand new, rolling out? My wife and I were just driving around one day, just looking at all these cars, and we thought, where do people get money for this? Well, they've taken God's money and spent it on themselves partly. And sometimes there's two incomes in the house and things like that. But I'm just saying, it's easy to look around and say, well, listen, I could do a lot with this money that I'm giving to the church. I do not like that phraseology. I know you're giving it at church, but I hope you're giving it to the Lord as an offering to him. Now, the church gets the use of those funds. Don't be mistaken, okay? But when we give, we're looking at what God has said about giving, about being a giver, about how he blesses and honors that. And we are trusting him that we're, first of all, going to have enough left over to take care of the needs that we have for our family. But secondly, we're trusting that he's going to do those things that he said he's going to do. Do you understand? Every step of obedience is based on the fact that God has given us a command and we're going to trust him in doing that. So Brother Bill said being doers of the word, but I'm looking for kind of specifics. What different doers, Brother Larry? Just being at church. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, didn't we? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But so much more as you see the day approaching. There's some other verses talking about how they met day to day, right? Every day they were meeting. And here the writer of Hebrews is saying, and so much the more. Some people say, man, I can't believe you meet on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And I think, man, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in the beginning of the church, they're meeting every single day. And they're saying, we ought to be more often than that. Just being the church. I think that is a step of faith. You're obeying God. I think that is a powerful witness to those in your community, but it feeds our faith, doesn't it? It sure does. Anybody have anything else? Right, right. Well, that's what I'm getting. That's really where I'm going with this, Brother Glenn. Yes, sir. So as we walk in the Spirit, we're going to have the fruit of the Spirit. Brother Glenn's talking about the not being rattled or shaken. I want you to think about where these believers were when this was written, you remember the persecution was starting, and they were back and forth. They were oscillating whether or not they're going to go back into the sacrificial system, where they're going to be with or walk with the Lord. And the writer of Hebrews has given several admonitions about that. He gave some motivation about the second coming, but he says, right now, I want you to remind you that the just are going to walk by faith. And so even in trials, even in temptations, even in difficulties, even in persecution, I want you to know that following God, you can still trust what He has said, and you should be living in that faith, not just saved by it, but daily trusting God and taking Him at His word. Oh, my friends, listen, if we're going to walk in faith, yes, we're going to have to walk in the Spirit. That is part of it, right? Trusting the Lord and submitting ourselves to His will. But it's all based on what He has told us to do, our simple obedience to what He has told us to do. You know, I think we can look at our lives sometimes, and we hope that it is overall marked by walking in faith, but sometimes there's something that grabs a hold of us. The Bible it calls it a besetting sin. Maybe it's something that we struggle with, or maybe it's a habit that is just forming in our life that is a sinful habit. Whatever it might be, it mars that really idea of walking by faith. The next phrase, anybody have their Bible open there? It says, the just shall walk by faith. That is, that's a quote out of Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. Kevin, do you have the rest of Hebrews right there? Chapter 10, verse 38.
The just shall live by faith. Any man draw back, all shall have no pleasure.
All right, that idea of drawing back. You know what that means? It means to skulk back. Kind of like if you can slip into the shadows and not be seen. Now, remember, the persecution that's going on, and if somebody's hunting you down, what do you think you're going to do? You're going to shrink back. You're going to draw back and try to be invisible. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, in the midst of this persecution, you can walk by faith. Do you realize there's a contrasting word there? The just shall walk by faith, but if any man, right? So it's kind of like saying you're either going to be walking by faith or you're going to be drawing back. Now, let me tell you very clearly, because we're going to run out of time before I run out of material. This is not in any way, shape, or form talking about losing your salvation. When you read the rest of the verse, or the rest of this verse and going into verse 39, it starts looking like, oh, is he talking about you can lose your salvation, talking about perdition and your soul, eternal life for your soul? And Lord willing, we'll get that in just a minute. But I want you to understand, one of the ways I know that this could not be ever even a thought of losing your salvation is because of Galatians chapter 2, verse 12. Galatians chapter 2. Do you have your English Bible here today, brother? All right. There was a time when Paul was coming in and Peter had been really fellowshipping with some Gentiles. And maybe it was when he was with Cornelius and had shared the gospel with him. But then James was coming into town. And I remember James was the pastor of the Jerusalem church, and there had been some discussion about what should we expect the Gentiles, and it has been put on the table, maybe should they be circumcised? And they said, no, it's not going to be that. We're not going to eat anything strangled with blood and those types of things. And so what did Peter do when James came to town? That word withdrew, found there in Galatians chapter 2, verse 12, is the exact same word that is used in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. And so Peter withdrew himself. He separated himself from those Gentile believers because he didn't want to have a bad reputation with that contingent that was coming from the church of Jerusalem. And so he was saying, listen, I'm still a good Jew, but I'm a believer. And so he wanted to create some space, if you will. He drew back from them. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is telling us not to do. He says, walk by faith. Was Peter walking in faith when that group came in from James? No, he was not. It was the opposite of walking in faith. You know why? Because he was not obeying the word of God. And that's what it boils down to. And so in verse 38, he says, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, he says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That doesn't mean you lose your salvation. How many of you grew up with your dad in your home? Most of you. Wow. I'm just raising my hand as an example. I did not. So it was wonderful to see a church full of people and young people that had a father in the home. I had a grandfather that I grew up with. And I can tell you, as my father figure, there's one thing I did not want to do, and that was to displease my grandfather. And I remember as a young kid, I was only 8 or 9, I got in this trance. I don't know what I was thinking. And there was a little hook that held the shed door open. And the shed was made out of this little siding wood. And I just drew a little circle at first, and I thought that was pretty neat. I just kept going around and around and around. And I dug a big, big gully in that whole thing. It looked like a bullseye when I was done. Now, that's just something silly that a young kid would do. My grandfather was upset. It's the only time I can remember him being very upset with me. And my mom would not allow him to spank me for, I'm still glad and thankful to this day, I'm still alive, okay? But I remember him looking at me and he said, I'm so disappointed in you. And I'll tell you, I think that was worse than any beating he could have given me. I never, never wanted to disappoint my grandfather again. And I know many of you can relate to that with your own fathers. You say, I don't want to disappoint my father. But how much more do we grieve God, disappoint our Heavenly Father, when we draw back, when we don't obey God's word, when we don't walk by faith. Instead, we draw back and, what does it say? I have no pleasure in them. But I tell you, I hope that is another motivating factor to help you to serve the Lord. Let me just cover verse 39 very quickly. The writer says, but we are not of them who draw back. He said, listen, we don't have to draw back. There is a, in a sense, I feel like he's with David saying, is there not a cause? Hey, there is a cause. And you don't have to draw back. Despite what is going on, I want you to know there's some of us that are going to be pressing on. And I tell you, I hope that within the influence that God has given to you in the lives of the people that you intermingle with every day, that you can encourage others that there is a cause, that they don't have to draw back, that you can live for Christ in this despicable, dark world in which we live. There is hope. Let me just cover verse 39 very quickly so you have an idea of what the writer is talking about. He says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Now, that's an interesting word. That word is used for destruction several times. The Greek word is used some 20 different times in the New Testament. But I will tell you this, in at least 2 places, it's translated as the word wasted. Wasted. And I think that could be the idea of perdition even right here, of life that is wasted. When you do not live a life of faith, you are wasting your life. I think is what the author is saying here. As a matter of fact, he goes on to say then, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That word saving is not the usual word that is used for salvation when it's talking about saving, as saved by grace. It really carries this idea of adding to or gaining something. So it's not wrong to use the word saving right there, but I'm just telling you, it's more like saving in the bank, like you're gaining something, you're adding something, you're investing something, not the same idea as saving your soul. And so I believe what the writer is there. By the way, that word soul is also translated some, I don't know if I wrote it down, some 35 different times as life. I'm not saying that the translators of the King James got it wrong. I'm just saying in our vernacular today, I think it could help us to understand it if we understood what these words are talking about. And so he's saying, but we are of them who do not draw back. We're not shirking back. We're still walking by faith unto a wasted life, but of them that believe to the increasing of your life. Didn't Jesus talk about the abundant life? I think that to some degree is what this is talking about here. He's saying, listen, if you do not walk in faith, you're wasting your life. But when you walk in faith, you have an increased life. Not length of life, but the quality of life. I think of some people that I know that I went to school with decades ago. What happened to their life? I know it's anecdotal. I don't have a graph and I've not researched. But I can tell you that some of the people I went to school with are just miserable. Miserable. Those people that I know that walk with the Lord, that have been faithful, that have walked by faith for their life, those people are people that I respect. And in their life, they have the abundant life. They have gained something in their life. So, even from our text earlier, how do we walk by faith? How do we increase? How does God increase our faith? Certainly reading the Bible. Certainly sitting in church, listening to preaching. Going to Sunday school, learning God's Word. But we learned earlier in chapter 10 that going through trials gives us confidence in who God is. But you know, even in your daily decisions, you are challenged to either draw back or to walk by faith. Am I going to tell the truth? Am I going to turn around from the last parking spot in Walmart and go all the way back and give back the extra $2 that the clerk overpaid me? Am I going to be honest? Am I going to have character? Am I going to have integrity? All those things are about walking by faith because those are the principles that God has given to us to live by. Am I going to keep myself pure? Am I going to listen to or watch things that are sensual and tear me? Listen, it's all about obeying God and taking Him at His word so that we can live a life that is pleasing to Him. And then we're not wasting our life, but instead we are adding to it. So my encouragement to you tonight is simply this. Walk by faith. Walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. That's what God expects, and that's what He demands.